On September 11, 2001, people trapped in burning towers didn't frantically dial their lawyers or accountants. They called loved ones with three simple words: I love you. This raw moment stripped away everything non-essential and revealed a fundamental truth: friendship is the bedrock of human existence. Yet somehow, in our daily scramble through emails, meetings, and obligations, we forget this. We treat relationships like background music rather than the main event. Consider Abraham Lincoln, who once awkwardly told a potential bride, "You had better not do it." Not exactly smooth. Yet through deliberate practice, he transformed into a master of human connection. The skills that create deep friendship aren't mysterious gifts bestowed on the charming few. They're learnable, practical, and surprisingly straightforward. Ever notice how certain people attract others effortlessly? They're not necessarily the most attractive, brilliant, or successful, yet they draw people like magnets. What they possess is the friendship factor, an ingredient that makes them genuinely loved rather than merely admired or envied. Research reveals something striking. Friendship forms the foundation for every other type of love. Those who struggle with friendships typically flounder in marriages, family relationships, and workplace dynamics. Master friendship, and everything else follows. George Burns and Jack Benny's 55-year friendship exemplified this. They talked daily, supported each other through difficulties, and shared their lives completely. The good news? You don't need to be extroverted to develop meaningful connections. Hubert Bowles, an extremely shy nurseryman, attracted hundreds to his funeral despite his introversion. He simply mastered caring and put people first. The friendship factor isn't about becoming someone you're not. It's about developing skills that work with who you already are. Howard Hughes died with billions, but lived miserably alone. Despite unlimited resources, he couldn't purchase genuine affection because he treated people as objects. Those who are deeply loved share one trait. They regard people as fundamental sources of happiness and build lifestyles around profound relationships. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed that we carefully manage our health and finances, but rarely plan wisely for friendship, our most valuable property. We'll spend hours researching the best smartphone, but won't deliberately invest in the relationships that actually determine our happiness. Harvard's 60-year study of 268 students revealed that career success correlates strongly with relationship success. People with enduring friendships share one essential quality: transparency. They lack facades, allowing others to see what's genuinely in their hearts. We hide behind masks despite our natural inclination to reveal ourselves, fearing rejection. Yet self-disclosure typically draws others closer. A wife contemplating divorce after 23 years complained her husband never shared his thoughts. When he finally opened up in therapy, revealing his fears and insecurities, she rediscovered tenderness toward him. We build walls to protect ourselves, then wonder why we feel isolated. Carl Jung advised becoming acquainted with our shadow side, those hidden memories and base impulses we try to excuse away. Revealing these aspects often brings unexpected acceptance. Despite love being our essence, we often withhold expressing it. Chicago Bears teammates Gail Sayers and Brian Piccolo demonstrated how affection transcends barriers, culminating in Sayers' emotional tribute, "I love you, Brian Piccolo." Many miss profound connections, fearing sentimentality or rejection, yet those most widely loved freely express affection. Conventional wisdom suggests playing hard to get, but research reveals otherwise. College men initially claimed to prefer aloof women, yet in dating experiments, consistently chose those showing clear interest. The ideal: selective discernment combined with genuine warmth. Being selectively elusive communicates both standards and affirmation. When expressing affection, avoid becoming the gusher, artificial emotion, the pressurizer, demanding reciprocation, or the ramrod, ignoring reactions. Instead, follow the 1-2-3 rule. Reach out, notice the reaction, adjust accordingly. Express every genuine good feeling without expecting return. The tragedy comes when affection remains undeclared, like Hugh's father, who never told his son the complimentary things he shared with others. When relationships are genuine, emotions become shared experiences, explaining why we fall in love with those who love us. The best friendships are built like fine lacquer finishes, through accumulated layers of small kindnesses rather than spectacular gestures. Einstein demonstrated this by reading Plato daily to his comatose sister, knowing love could be communicated through attentive acts. As Edna St. Vincent Millay lamented, "'Tis not love's going hurts my days, but that it went in little ways." Ritual is universally important in relationships. Just as married couples cement bonds with goodnight kisses and anniversary celebrations, friendships deepen through weekly lunches or yearly fishing trips. The author's breakfast ritual with his son at Vern's provided both casual conversation and profound exchanges that sustained them through adolescent turbulence. Gift giving requires thoughtfulness rather than lavishness. Dr. Lars Granberg, a struggling graduate student, bought his wife a single rose daily, a gesture she valued more than elaborate bouquets. A 5-year-old's gift of worn toy cars became treasured possessions for Merle Simpson, representing genuine affection rather than monetary value. When kindliness becomes second nature, it transforms relationships. The most destructive trait in relationships is the need to control others. Though disguised as love, "I'm just doing this for your own good," controlling behavior suffocates and drives people away. Classic manipulator types include the take-charge manipulator, who must appear smarter and stronger, revealing deep insecurity, the poor-me manipulator, who controls through weakness, and the need-to-be-needed manipulator. DeWitt and Lila Wallace, founders of Reader's Digest, demonstrated liberating partnership. Together, they launched the magazine in 1922, growing it to 228,000 circulation by 1929. Even in their 80s, they collaborated closely, with Wallace acknowledging, "I think Lila made the Digest possible. Practical ways to create space? Be cautious with criticism. It's only safe when it pains you to give it. Use door openers like 'Tell me more' that invite deeper conversation. Encourage uniqueness rather than conformity. Allow for solitude." Rilke describes good marriage as appointing one another guardian of solitude, allowing each to see the other whole against a wide sky. Encourage other relationships, as jealousy destroys friendships. Physical touch is our most powerful sensory experience. The skin contains over 500,000 sensory fibers connecting to the brain. Research from 19th century foundling homes proved touch is essential. Infant mortality dropped dramatically when women held babies regularly. While American culture limits touch, averaging fewer than 3 contacts per hour versus up to 100 in Mediterranean cultures, the human need remains universal. A simple hug can make more impact than an entire conversation. Yet many couples stop talking. The average couple spends only 17 minutes per week in conversation. One woman began an affair not primarily for sex, but because she could talk deeply with her lover, something missing with her husband. Good conversation requires deliberate scheduling. Charlie Shedd and his wife maintained 2 rituals, weekly dinner dates and 15 minutes daily of deep conversation. The secret of being interesting is to be interested. Good listeners listen with their eyes. Body language communicates your level of interest. They dispense advice sparingly and feel honored when someone lets down their guard. Genuine intimacy emerges when conversation moves beyond facts into emotions. Many develop an "I must always be strong" syndrome, viewing themselves as machines rather than human need systems. Yet tears are a gift, not a weakness. Suppressed anger eventually erupts. All intimate relationships must accommodate occasional irritation. The question isn't whether we'll experience conflict, but whether we'll express emotions honestly or let them corrode us from within. In a world selling connection through apps and curating intimacy through filters, we've forgotten the most powerful truth. Genuine relationship requires presence, vulnerability, and deliberate choice. Your friendships aren't background music to your real life. They are your real life. Career achievements fade when you face crisis. What remains is the simple truth those trapped souls discovered. love is all that matters. Dr. Steven Johnson suggests evaluating relationships by asking, do you have someone nearby to call in personal distress? Can you visit several people without advance warning? Do you share recreational activities with others? If you're answering no, you might have an overly packed social calendar that actually impedes deep friendship formation. Meaningful connections require cultivation through quiet evenings, long walks, and uninterrupted conversations. Stop waiting for relationships to just happen. Schedule that coffee date. Send that text saying I love you. Share what you're actually feeling instead of what sounds impressive. The friendship factor isn't about becoming more charming. It's about becoming more human. And in our increasingly disconnected world, that might be the most radical act of all.